Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Writer, actor, comedian, film director, and all-around smart guy Dimitri Martin is launching a 40-city stand-up tour this fall. The Conan O'Brien and Daily Show alum recently directed and starred in his first feature film, Dean.
I'm gonna try to take a nap. I'm pretty tired.
Oh, yeah. Naomi. I'm Naomi. Your name would be?
I'm Dean.
He also had a Comedy Central series called Important Things. The stand-up tour Let's Get Awkward will bring Martin to The Egg in Albany on October 6th at 8 p.m. But first, it's my pleasure to welcome Dimitri Martin back to the roundtable. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Why did you want to go back out on the road?
Well, a few reasons. I guess the most noble reason is that I do love doing stand-up, and I wanted to develop a new hour and shoot a new special. And the more practical reason is that I have a wife and two kids now, and I need money. So I got to get out on the road
that's
make
a,
that money.
That's a good reason. I was going to ask you about becoming a father, which happened since the last time we spoke. How has that changed your approach to your work?
So far, it hasn't changed it too much. I definitely understand why typically comedians, after they have children, have more material about kids and being a parent. So far, I've resisted that a little bit. I'm still drawn to more, I guess you'd call it generic material, but I have a couple little bits that have trickled into my act. In terms of my work experience, it's changed it a lot. Obviously, I have less time to focus on my career or myself and spending a lot more time, you know, focusing on my kids and thinking about them, which is kind of refreshing. It's really nice. And I'm sure things will kind of recalibrate a little bit as time goes on. I'll be able to put a little bit more energy back into the comedy and the stuff that I'm used to doing.
Did you have any discussions with your family about what would be fair game from, you know, your life with them on stage?
No, it's almost to a fault. I'm pretty private, and I avoid talking about really anybody who's in my life. Although I called this tour Let's Get Awkward because I'm trying, at least in part, to open up a little bit more on stage and talk about some more personal things. But in the era of oversharing, I think I'm still pretty tame when it comes to personal revelations on stage. For whatever reason, I'm just really drawn to more like ideas and jokes. I don't know if they're old-fashioned jokes, but just the old-fashioned sense of just telling jokes rather than delving into my personal life up there.
I think the worst time to have a heart attack is during a game of charades. Especially if your teammates are bad guessers. The only time worse would be during a game of fake heart attack. Followed by naps. I went into a shoe store and I said, hey, can I get those in a 10? The guy said, sure, and he went in the back. Then a couple minutes later he came out and he goes, I don't have a 10, I have a 9. Great. Because while you were in the back, my toes were severed off.
Did you ever try that, you know, when you were getting started in comedy the other way?
Yeah, I've done 3 one-person shows, I guess you call them, that were more like theater shows. They were narrative, one-man storytelling shows. And those were designed for the festival circuit. There are international festivals. There are some in the States still. There used to be the Aspen Comedy Festival, or they called it the U.S. Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen. That ended. And then in Montreal, there's Just for Laughs, and now they have Just for Laughs in Toronto, so in Canada. But in Edinburgh, you know, there's the kind of world famous International Fringe Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a show there in 2003, then one in 2004, 2005, and then 2006 as well. In 2006, I did mostly what I do in the States, which was jokes. But the first 3 shows I wrote as specific narrative shows. And I did those shows in Australia as well at the Melbourne International Festival. So that was like already more than 10 years ago, but at that time I was telling personal stories and trying different things with music and photographs, slideshows, and a bunch of different things. And for limited runs, I found it pretty enjoyable, and when the shows worked, it was nice to connect with audiences in that way. But I find that when I'm doing longer tours and then doing shows of different lengths, I could do 90 minutes on the road and then, you know, spot in LA for 20 minutes or something, it's still more fun for me to do jokes, one-liners, shorter jokes. I get tired of telling my personal stories. Then I get tired of myself because stories are about me, and then I don't want to perform at all. So jokes somehow feel more sustainable to me because they're not so self-involved.
How do you actually write the new hour, the new special, as you go out onto the road? Because, as you mentioned, you have this great track record with jokes and one-liners. Do these things come to you throughout the day, or do you set aside time and say, okay, I've got to think of a few funny things now? How does it work?
Before I had kids and before I had so much material behind me, where now I have probably about 4 hours of material out there over the years. More, it felt, at least I could be wrong, but at the time it felt more like back then, jokes would just float into my head. It felt like I had more time to daydream, and I was more single-minded in my focus, trying to be specifically a stand-up comedian. So yeah, I lived in New York and I'd go for walks, hop on the subway, go to a bookstore. I used to go to the Met a lot. I'd go to museums and just wander around and let my mind wander. It's pretty fun. I carry a notebook, and then jokes seem to float into my head, and I would grab them and write them down. They didn't all work, but it was kind of a fun process.
I think vests are all about protection. Like, the life vest protects you from drowning, and the bulletproof vest protects you from getting shot, and the sweater vest protects you from pretty girls. Leave me alone. Can't you see I'm cold just right here? There's a narrow cold front sweeping through Chicago. Dress appropriately. Got these giant fat arms and a skinny torso. What should I wear?
Then over time, I got more focused and I started to really write them, sit down and say, oh, I'm going to come up with 2 pages of jokes, or I'm going to write 10 jokes before the subway gets to that stop. So I made it more of a game just to accelerate the process, force them out. And now, yeah, if I have a special I'm getting ready for, try to record an album or something, I feel like I hit the accelerator and I make myself write jokes more like an assignment. So some of them still come to me and, you know, kind of float into my head. But the last, I was on the road last week, it was about a 6-day trip, 4 or 5 shows. I decided, all right, I'll write 100 jokes, you know, on this trip. And I think I wrote 80. I tried to write 100. I got 80 out. They're not very good. You know, when I force them out like that, my hit rate seems to go down. But I think all in all, I can get to a new hour faster if I kind of play games like that. And then, like a lot of comedians, I write on stage. It's nice when you have the luxury of having audiences who like what you do come to your shows, in the theater, comedy club, wherever it is. They're giving you a benefit of the doubt so that you can explore a little bit on stage. You can get away with some stuff where you're trying to find an extra tag to a joke or something pops in your head, you just try it up there. And that, over time, especially when you do a tour with shows that are back-to-back, tends to yield a nice little chunk of material if you put some effort into it.
Will you bring your easel and your guitar out on this tour?
I've had it in some of the shows, and then in some of them I'm not. So I'm kind of going back and forth trying to figure out the best way to do this. I'm always torn between doing things like that, which I really enjoy, and I find diversify my presentation, especially in a longer show if I'm in a theater and doing 90 minutes or something. It's nice to break it up a little bit. So I'm drawn to doing that. And on the other hand, I am drawn to I guess you'd call the more pure approach, which is just standing there with a microphone, which is how I started in stand-up and what I mostly do. But somehow I always end up, when I put something out on TV or onto an album, I end up having guitar or something else with it. So I don't know. I'm going to shoot a special at the end of this tour in Seattle. So I'm practicing for that. So I guess we'll see where the chips fall by the time I get to that point of the tour.
What about politics? I don't think, you know, historically you've done a ton of political material, but it's something people are talking about around the clock now. So will you bring that into your show at all?
I don't think so. I feel strongly, like most people do, especially these days. But artistically, I've never been drawn to doing political material. I really respect people who do it well, but I don't know why. I never find it inspiring. Politics just about always make me feel bad. I find it very alienating and discouraging. I'm not an anarchist or anything, but I don't know. I've been torn, because now more than ever in my career, I feel almost compelled to put in my two cents. But at the same time, as you said, it's around the clock. If I think of what I'm doing as a little bit more of a break from that, or a little escape hatch or a distraction for an hour for people, and great. And maybe I don't have to add my voice to the chorus. I think it's important to be active and to vote and everything. I certainly hope things change, but I didn't get into comedy to do that. And I just don't seem to naturally have much to say there. Even when I was on The Daily Show, I was surprised when they called me to come in and have a meeting. One of the first things I said to them was, I think you got the wrong guy. Like, I'm not politically inclined, and purposefully in my career I've tried to do material that has nothing to do with the larger conversation at the time, which I guess in some ways has hurt me, I guess. I don't know. Makes me a little less relevant. But, you know, I always say relevance is temporary, but irrelevance is eternal.
That's one of the 100. That's a good one.
Yeah.
The last time we talked to you, you were editing after shooting Dean, which was your first film, as I mentioned, as a director.
Yeah.
Now the film's been released and it's coming out to home video as we speak. Are you working on another film project, and do you have more, you know, screenplays in the works?
Yeah, that one took a while for a number of reasons. The main one was that I did do a tour and shoot a special while I was editing, or trying to at the same time. And man, that was just too much. So that film took a lot longer to come out than I expected, especially as a small indie film and everything. So I got two other ideas, and I did outlines for them. So now I'm trying to write those screenplays. My fantasy is that I would finish both scripts. I'd get one made, and then as soon as it, you know, finished, I could quickly then present my script to the next script and say, hey, I want to do this one now, and start getting a little momentum in filmmaking. But this tour is making that a lot harder. I haven't even touched those in a couple months. I finished a book of drawings, so then that took a while, and that's a project, you know, promoting each thing. It's just the work of selling stuff, which I find so difficult. It's amazing how much energy it takes. And I'm finally going to have an album come out that contains the material that was in my Netflix special called Live at the Time. So I've been editing that little album, and all of these things kind of pushed my film aspirations down the list for now.
But of all the things that you do, how did you like directing compared to your other jobs?
I really like directing. What I love about stand-up is also sometimes what I hate about stand-up. It's the individuality and the freedom that you have. Sometimes I can be really lonely. I don't really have colleagues. I don't get to collaborate with other people. And I'm physically alone. I don't travel with my wife and kids. They're really little, and it would just be too hard. So I often feel like I'm just leaving my life. I just get up and then suddenly I'm gone. I'm Skyping with them or something. Now, making a movie, of course, that's involved, but I did get to shoot half that movie in Los Angeles. So I got to sleep in my own bed and be with my family. And then I got to work with other people, you know, on the set, the DP, you know, you name it, everybody. So That was great. What I didn't like was producing. I'm not a good practical production person. You know, when it comes to figuring out how we're going to maximize the budget and how are we going to find these locations, where are we going to have lunch for the crew, like this parking lot's not available, where do we park the trucks, you know, that kind of stuff. This is not my calling. The actual work of directing I found really enjoyable and stimulating. It was really fun. It's a puzzle with a lot of different sides to it. So, you know, that I thought I would like it, and I really did. So I hope I get to do it again. It's obviously a longer feedback loop. It's a longer process than stand up, but I like it.
Well, we'll give you some instant gratitude when you're back in Albany. Dimitri Martin will be at the Egg October 6th at 8 p.m. Dimitri, it's always a pleasure to have you on our show. I wish you safe travels on the tour, and we're looking forward to having you back in town.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to coming back. The Egg is definitely a one-of-a-kind venue, and I always look forward to that room. It's really cool.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.